City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to another edition of City Current. We're here in the studios at Dakota Media Access on Wednesday, October 4th. I'm Mary Van Sickle, and here with me again is Mandan City Administrator Jim Neubauer.
Morning, Mary.
Good to have you here. And because October is Fire Prevention Month, we also have some very special guests with us today. Fire Chief Steve Nardello is here, as is Shane Weltikol, paramedic, EMT, firefighter, along with Webster. Thank you all for being here today. It's good to have you.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be here. I think, weather's kind of turning and things are getting a little cooler, but colors outside are beautiful.
It's October. That's right. And it's Fire Prevention Month. And before we start talking about some of the things that the Mandan Fire Department is doing for Fire Prevention Month, I want to talk with Jim just a little bit about what happened at the City Commission meeting last night. One of the things on the agenda that was a nice positive move is moving forward with the former Mandan Junior High.
Yep, it's been a long time coming. We've had, I think school districts had several different kind of property owners in the past 10 years maybe, or 8 years, whatever it's been since the junior high kind of closed up. But last week, the property officially changed hands again, and we had a building permit taken out. And so that project, which will include 39 units of affordable housing, will start in earnest probably within the next few weeks. There's a lot of demolition that they need to do, asbestos removal from the school, and then real construction will start
this year already. Okay,
absolutely.
Good.
So we're all excited about that. It's finally moving off.
We talked in detail about the project a few programs ago. So it was really a great project. 39 residential units.
39 units. They'll be demolishing the I think the newer gym to make room for more parking in the middle. There'll be some green space added, a little playground for kids on the interior of that property, and we think for the whole neighborhood, this is a very positive
step.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a building that has a real rich history in the city of Mandan.
Yep.
It's had many uses.
We're pretty happy, when it was the former high school, then went to the junior high, and then I think the sixth grade academy moved in there for a year or two while the new middle school was being built. So, like I said, it's seen a lot of uses, and we're pretty happy that it's finally, it's a project that has been being looked forward to by the whole community for a long time. It's finally off the ground.
Well, we'll watch it along with you and report on the progress as we go.
So we'll have updates.
Be great. Yeah, another item on the agenda last night was Memorial Highway and the possibility for a federal grant from the DOT.
Right.
U.S. DOT.
There's a Tiger grant opportunity that the DOT approached just a few weeks ago. I think there's $500 million nationwide available. It is a competitive process. We've been talking about reconstructing Memorial Highway along with North Dakota DOT for many, many years. It's a very large price tag, and we had done kind of a initial study back in 2009 and indicated here's what Memorial Highway could look like if it were more an urban type of road rather than kind of the rural lanes that it is right now.
It's not just a road project. It's water, sewer system. The whole thing has to be, as long as it's going to be torn up, the plan would be to replace all that infrastructure as well.
We've got water lines, sewer lines under there that are 40-plus years old. We've got open ditches, so there's storm sewer element to it in addition. Like I said, this opportunity came about, and North Dakota DOT approached us for a letter of support and our concurrence with applying for this grant. Like I said, there's $500 million available nationwide. It's competitive. We've been told there's probably a 1-3% chance that we might be successful. One of the advantages of this project is it moves, we'd been talking as federal funding becomes available, this project could have taken up to 10 years to complete.
And which is pretty disruptive to
very disruptive to the local businesses, especially those businesses. And we know that I think West Fargo had a project where they had to do it in a 10-year increments, and really tough on businesses to survive that long period. This project, because it is a grant outside the normal funding sources, would be hopefully we could get this done in a 1-2 year period.
Well, the commissioner's reaction, I think it was almost every commissioner's reaction was, it's really a no-brainer.
Yep.
We need to move forward and apply for this. It doesn't mean the city is committed from that point, but
It means we're committed to the application.
Right.
And hopefully we will know towards the end of 2017, first part of 2018, if this were a project that were chosen. We'll kind of have a couple days or maybe a week to get a response back that says, yeah, we're all in.
Could go on the fast track if you get a yes.
A lot of moving parts in here
yet.
Wow,
yes.
As far as, like you said, it's not only the street, it's the water, the sewer, the storm sewer. We need to figure out funding sources for all of those pieces of the pie.
And the price tag that was at least Justin mentioned last night could potentially be $32 million.
Right, and that's just for the street part, the above ground work.
Right.
We're probably talking another $4.2 to $5 million on the underground work that becomes our local share. Of the $32 million, you know, it's important to note that you might have a $32 million project. 10% of that has to be picked up by the locals. So $32 million, you're looking at $3.2 million on the local side for just the above ground work. And then we get into the below ground work that is 100% local.
Huge project, so. Substantial project for the city of Mandan.
Yep.
I remember when Main Avenue was reconstructed, and then I believe First Avenue as well. But this seems like it would be even a bigger fight.
Main Street and First Street were very disruptive. I think that was 1990, if I'm not mistaken. And that project has had a pretty good life so far with minimal disruptions or minimal breaks in the concrete or anything like that. So we'd be looking at, I think it's a couple miles of roadway here, and it's four lanes with medians and things like that. So a lot of design work needs to be done.
Pedestrian path.
Yep. As part of any federal project, you need to have the walking and the multi-purpose element to that.
So is there anything we can do citizens could do to influence that grant application?
I'm not sure about that.
Lobbying effort we could put in place?
We will be looking for letters of support for that. So I think Ellen Huber, our business development and communications director, will be contacting some businesses that, write letters of support, and then that adds to the pot.
Oh,
and you just say,
great.
The local community supports this along with the individual businesses in this area. And they've been asking for it for quite a while. No one wants to pay for it, of course, but it's a matter of everybody realizes the project needs to be done. And, every time there's a heavy rainfall, people are going, we're getting ditches or parking lots are flooded. Part of the city's contribution to there is that we understand that if that project gets done, then the city takes over the snow plowing and those items, which we're a little hesitant to do because right now DOT can come through with their trucks and they clean the snow off.
I heard that last night. I thought that was very interesting. So should you receive the grant, the agreement is that the city takes over maintenance.
Yep. That's when any major reconstruction project like that happens. That's, the gift that keeps on giving. here's your 90% money to do the project and you get to maintain it.
Okay.
From then on, it doesn't mean that if there's another, if there's an issue with the street or something like that, there's still federal and state cost share in that street. But the long-term maintenance and the snow plowing and things like that will take additional time. So, we're looking to how can we extend that period when, will DOT continue to move snow on there for the next 10 years after it's reconstructed. We threw that out to them. It's a question we'll ask. Whether we're successful in that or not is a point of negotiation.
Well, and I would assume all those things have to be factored in to get some sort of specific price tag on the whole project and what it means. When do you find out on this?
The grant application goes in, I think, October 13th.
Okay.
So we're on a pretty short time frame. And in turn, we're hoping by the end of December of 2017 or the early part of 2018 that we would know whether we got the green light
or
not.
You'll let us know.
Absolutely.
I'm sure it'll be an announcement.
I was wondering if Administrator Neubauer could give us the wording for the acronym of TIGER.
I think it's a test.
It's a transportation improvement GER. How's that? I think that's what we know. Who invited you today, by the way?
Another positive thing on that was spoken about last night at the meeting was the city of Mandan receiving the large city of the year from the North Dakota League of Cities at their conference last week.
Yep, that was a pretty big honor for us.
Yeah.
Commissioner Rohr and I were down there for the full two-day conference. Commissioner Brown came in on Saturday for the luncheon. Cole Hagelin from the Park District nominated the city for their work on projects together, such as a sports complex. But we went through and looked at, of all the things that Mandan has done, you know, we went back to like 2003 when we started with, you know, we realized Main Street needed a little cleaning up, and we adopted ordinances that removed exotic dancing, and, you know, which was challenged.
Started it all.
Yep, which was challenged by a group of citizens on a, and was put to a vote, and the vote passed 76% in favor of what the city commission's actions were. So that kind of set the tone. We've had the, you know, the diesel fuel settlement. We've had, you know, a lot of buildings were torn down, which was a pretty tough period in Mandan's history.
Reconstruction of the the warehouse, the freight house.
Freight house is taken off. Beanery, the depot. If you look at all of the, you know, there was a lot of naysayers when we were buying some really old and dilapidated buildings and taking them down. You know, no one's ever going to build here, but, you know, all of those sites are now filled up with housing and residential units and also commercial space. So, you know, a lot of good things. And the point that we want to make is that, you know, from a school standpoint, there's been a new middle school, elementary school, and it takes, you know, the Park District has good projects with the Universal Playground, the sports complex, and all these are not done by one entity by themselves. It's done as a whole community, and everybody needs to be behind it.
Park, school, city.
Yep, League of Cities recognize that, and like I said, we're pretty pleased.
It's an honor.
Yep, and I think it's the first time Mandan's been selected as the League of Cities Large City of the Year. So, yeah, pretty cool thing.
Tooting your horn.
Yep, have
nothing
to do
wrong
that.
With that. Absolutely.
Have to do that.
So let's talk about the October being Fire Prevention Month, and Chief's with us here. Talk about some of the things that the fire department is doing this month to celebrate, or probably more raise awareness.
So the fire service every year recognizes October as Fire Prevention Month. And what we usually do is provide educational programs for the students in the schools. We go to each school, both public and private, for the, and I'm going to leave a lot of this up to Shane, who's our fire prevention guru in the department. But we provide, I believe it's kindergarten, first, second, and third graders with some educational fire prevention tips.
You also have an open house scheduled for next week, Tuesday the 10th. Is that
correct? Every year, the second Tuesday in October, we have an open house at 7 o'clock, and that started with a parade from the Mandan Rural Fire Department in northwest section of the city that comes down to the station. And at 7 o'clock, then we have an open house where we have some literature, some handouts, fire prevention materials, fire truck rides. For the kids, they love that. We usually have large lines for that. We have a safety house where the kids can actually use a fire hose and spray on a safety house, and a lot of other activities. But again, I'll leave that up to Shane to let you know how that works.
Shane, do you want to talk about that with about the parade in the open house next Tuesday night?
Yeah, absolutely. Our open house is generally a fairly big hit. We usually get and upwards of a couple thousand people, so the more the merrier for that. We have a large array of events, like Chief Nardello said, and the very first thing that, like Chief said, the kids love is the fire truck rides. We always do fire truck rides. We have lots of different entities throughout the community, the Mandan Police Department, the Bismarck Police Department, the West Dakota SWAT team, Sanford Health, St. Alexis Health, lots of different organizations that come and provide different types of materials and educational opportunities for the children. So it's a lot of fun for those kids to get out and come and be able to see all the things that we provide for them.
So on Tuesday night, you'll start at about 6:30?
Yep, 6:30, like Chief said. The parade will start up at the Mandan Rural Fire Station. And most of the time, it goes down Sunset Avenue and comes across on Main Street and winds back around on First. Back to the Station 1 on Collins
Avenue.
That's
a long parade route.
Yeah, we make some noise for quite a few minutes, so it's a lot of fun. We usually get a lot of people to stand outside and watch, and the kids are giving us the air horn honk, and it's a lot of fun.
So it's primarily your vehicles coming
down? It's all of our fire apparatus, and then all the other emergency vehicles within the county and the surrounding cities that are joining us for our event.
Sounds like fun. And is Webster at the parade in the
Webster
open house?
Webster will be at the open house. He is our newest addition to the open house. He's never been there before.
Looking pretty excited about all this.
Yeah, he's taking a rest. He's getting rested up for it. Going to be a lot of kids petting him that night.
Shane, are you his handler, or primary handler?
I am. Yep, I am his only handler.
Okay. And he wears a badge.
He does. Yep, he's official.
He is a nice dog. Can you talk a little bit about what Webster does for the fire department?
Sure. Webster is, his technical definition is an ignitable liquid detection canine, most commonly known as an arson dog. So what Webster does is helps us do some investigations on fires and hopefully help us find something that may have been placed there that wasn't supposed to be placed there, or so on and so forth. In addition to that, we use him for our public education events like our open house and the schools and whatnot.
So he does go into the schools with you?
He hasn't been into the schools yet this year. We're going to have all the kids come to him first, and then next year he'll be going into the schools.
How long have you had Webster?
I went to New Hampshire and acquired him on the 2nd of April. And I trained out there for a month with him, and he's been back with us at the fire department since the end of April.
So not very long.
No, we're still getting used to each other.
Well, he looks very comfortable with you.
He is, yeah.
He's a good dog. He can come and hang out with us anytime. Yeah.
Shane, do you want to talk a little bit about, you know, Webster is available throughout the state of North Dakota for assistance?
Absolutely. We're very fortunate at the Manan Fire Department to have acquired Webster. He is the only dog of this nature within the entire state of North Dakota. In fact, he's the only dog of this nature in the state of North Dakota. There isn't one in Montana, there isn't one in Canada above us, and there isn't one in South Dakota below us. So we're very, very fortunate to have been afforded the grant that we got to acquire him. With that being said, we do offer Webster services throughout the state. So if Fargo or Williston or anybody in between were to call us and ask to use him, we would gladly oblige. Hmm.
It's obviously an investment, but something that can help other communities as well.
I know Shane was talking a little bit the other day about the number of receptors in Webster's nose, I think. He can pick up a lot of stuff.
A lot of different things, yep.
And I think, what was it, like 300?
Webster has about 220 million different scent receptors, where you and I have about 5 million. So I always tell the kids, it's kind of like if you come into my house and go, oh, you're cooking spaghetti today. Webster can go in and let me know that you're cooking spaghetti with garlic and paprika and salt and pepper and all the different ingredients. So that it makes him very unique in his ability to do what he does.
I think from a city standpoint, we're very fortunate that we have Shane and Webster, because number one, it's just another added thing for kids to, number one, it gets them excited and they can talk about fire prevention, mm-hmm. and it's something they can relate to, because who doesn't like to go up and pet a critter? And Webster's pretty darn friendly, and the interaction that I've witnessed with Webster and all the firefighters and things like that is... Yeah, we had a lot of discussion about would this be a good thing or a bad thing, because there's a lot of issues that come along with a dog in a firehouse, and I think to date it's just been nothing but positive. And so we're pretty excited. Webster looks pretty excited right now too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And he is relaxed, and you can see I think I told you yesterday, I think he's probably better trained than most humans are as far as obeying orders or things like that. So, like I said, we think it's pretty awesome.
The city's very, very fortunate, too, that Shane applied for a grant for Webster. And so it didn't cost the city any money for Webster, nor the training. When Shane went to New Hampshire, that was paid for out of the grant.
Wow.
And he used his own time to attend the training.
And not only that, the other really good thing about Webster is he's a deterrent for anybody that may be contemplating arson. If we can get the word out that we have this tool, and you know, maybe that'll make that arsonist say, you know, maybe I shouldn't do this because they're going to catch me, and we will. So,
mm-hmm. Shane, what's the you know, Webster's a pretty young dog.
He is. He's 2.5 years old. Okay. 2.5 years old. Yep. And he's a male yellow lab. So we get sometimes people think he might be a golden retriever and whatnot, but no, he's purebred yellow lab.
And the time span of usefulness? Not that they're not useful from the day they're born until the end,
but generally we like to work the dogs for 5 to 7 years, and then we want to give them a couple years in retirement to just be a dog, to be able to just do regular dog stuff. One of the things that Webster does is he solely eats out of my hand, so he never will eat out of a bowl his entire working career until he retires. So we just want him to be able to do those things after he retires and take a rest for all the service that he gives us.
You have a very close relationship with him.
We do. And aside from the working dog aspect of Webster, he's an amazing family dog. He gets along with my children amazing. He loves to go to the lake. I can't keep him out of the water. So he's just That's a great. Good dog in general.
Good deal. Well, thanks for sharing him with us today.
You're welcome.
Really
Thank
appreciate you
for
bringing
having.
Him down. Back to the general fire prevention issues and raising awareness. And Shane or Chief Nardello, are there? What should people know? What are some of the primary concerns about fire and things people should know about fire prevention?
Well, with today's construction, it requires that all homes have smoke detectors. So that's eliminated a lot of deaths caused by fire. But those devices have to be maintained. And we always say, you know, change your clock, change your battery, to make sure that the batteries are consistently charged. There's other safety tips in addition to that, such as, you know, be careful with candles and things like that. And they're the types of literature that we'll have at the open house that people can pick up. And so we have items for the children and for the adults.
And information can always be found on your website as well. thecityofmandan.com has, and go to the fire department. There's a lot of information on fire prevention there. And then also on your Facebook page, the City of Mandan has a Facebook page, and the fire department contributes to that, their information on there as well.
Right. I think details on the Fire Prevention Month are also on the Facebook page and city's page. If you're interested on locations and times, like Shane said, the parade starts up at the Rural Fire Department up in the industrial park in the northwest part of Mandan, and we can, you know, get you to there. Encourage folks to don't be alarmed on next Tuesday night when you hear all kinds of lights and sirens and things like that, because it is, that's part of the fun. And like Shane said, I think we usually get 1,000 or plus people coming through the fire station. It's just because, you know, there's not only the fire department there, it's all the other agencies that are contributing to make this event a success.
Sure. And this will end down at the fire station right downtown?
On Correct. Collins, yes.
Okay. Yep. That'd be great.
And it's going to be cold, but we're still going to do everything. So just wear a jacket and come on out.
It'll be Tuesday, October 10th, starting at 6:30 at the...
For the parade, yep.
For the parade.
The Mandan Rural Station, yes.
Coming downtown. Should be great.
I think we've had it when there's been some snowflakes in the air and there's been rain and they've had beautiful nights and whatever. It's almost like the mailman.
It's October.
You know, we will have the event no matter what.
We never know. Yeah.
Correct.
It could be snow. It could be 80 degrees.
It's going to be beautiful.
It's going to be beautiful.
Yes, it is.
Guaranteed by Chief Nardello. We're going to hold you to that, you know.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today. It was great to have you here.
Thank you, Chief
Nardello, Shane Welticole, Webster. Really appreciate you all coming in and sharing information on Fire Prevention Month.
Thank you.
Webster's enjoyed his time here, as I think he must have missed his nap this
morning. Yeah, we got a good nap.
That's funny. And thank you for watching this Mandan edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.